Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. And just before the series Mrs. America premiered, we had a great conversation with actor Cate Blanchett, Davi Waller, the series showrunner and writer, plus executive producer Stacey Scher, about the fictionalized account of Phyllis Schlafly's rise and the story of the women on both sides of the fight over the Equal Rights Amendment in the 1970s. So today we are coming full circle as the show's finale is set to air next week on May 27th on Hulu, and we're excited to speak with actor Sarah Paulson. Now, just to recap, Blanchett plays Phyllis Schlafly as she faces off against the icons of the women's liberation movement. It all starts when a housewife named Alice McRae introduces Schlafly to the dangers of the ERA. Now, if you're thinking, I don't think I've ever heard of Alice McRae, no worries, you did not miss that class in women's studies. Alice is a composite figure representing the women who admired and followed Phyllis Schlafly. Here's a clip from when Alice is having a drink at a bar, talking to a friendly Christian woman who she assumes is an ally, about her relationship with Schlafly, which isn't exactly healthy.
You know, I didn't even vote or think about voting until I met her.
I mean, Buck always said voting was a waste of time.
Phyllis, she's the first woman I knew that not only understood politics, but also she was so smart about it. The Soviets and communism. I think I'm just smarter by being around her. And no matter how busy she is, she always finds time to check all of my correspondence.
She checks your correspondence?
Oh, for mistakes.
A lot of political language goes right over my head.
You don't seem to have any trouble expressing yourself.
Liquid courage.
Sarah Paulson joins me now. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's so interesting. You know, you're playing this Alice McRae, this composite image of the conservative woman in the 1970s, and you're a feminist. How did you go about understanding Alice, and what was important to her?
Well, I think something that's just fundamentally true about Alice that sort of separates her from some of the other women in Phyllis's movement is she has an extraordinary open heart, mm-hmm. and I think a fundamental goodness. And so I think my way into it was finding that little crack of truth that I could relate to in terms of, although I didn't align politically with her points of view, I certainly could feel her humanness resonate with me, and that, you know, she was sort of always striving to find what was right and good and true within the confines of that sort of counter movement. So that was something I was able to relate to, because, you know, I like to think I'm a person who's capable of having goodness mm-hmm. in my heart, and it sort of was the driving, I think, is sort of Alice's engine. It's sort of what gets her going is her own personal pursuit of goodness, and in herself and in others.
What does the Stop ERA movement mean to her? And she hears what does she hear?
When she hears the Stop ERA movement, it's the first time, you know, Phyllis for her is the first woman at that particular time that is sort of speaking to her truth and her mm-hmm. beliefs. The women's liberation movement sounds sort of annoyingly to Alice like a sorority for working women, you know, and for her, it, you know, Alice, it represents a change that she's not comfortable with. You know, every time she opens McCall's magazine and she reads Betty Friedan's column, it just makes her feel bad about herself. And it makes her, you know, no one in the liberation movement is talking about how you don't have to work in order to feel worthwhile. And for Alice, her power and her confidence and her sense of self comes directly from her place in her home. And she puts enormous value on that and being a wonderful wife and a present mother and a woman of great faith. She feels like she matters in her home, and the women's liberation movement is sort of suggesting that she should want more. And the fact that she doesn't makes her feel that she's doing something wrong and makes her feel a certain kind of shame and a certain kind of invisibility that Phyllis's Stop ERA movement speaks more directly to her personal beliefs and doesn't make her feel bad about herself, makes her feel empowered.
Well, it's interesting in that in this intro, we played that clip from this great scene where Alice has attended this convention in Houston, and she's just sort of on an emotional and intellectual roller coaster during the entire episode.
Indeed, yes. Yes.
She's just confronted with people she hasn't had to, she's been talking about but never really met the feminists. And she meets this woman, this lovely Christian woman, and then Alice learns that she's a member of NOW and kind of loses her mind. In that moment,
she does indeed.
What was she thinking? For you as playing Alice, what does she think as soon as she realizes this woman who she thinks she's bonded with is the enemy?
Yeah. Well, you know, it sort of smacks. Well, look, here's the deal. She looks at Julie White, who's playing this woman, and she's wearing a sweater set, and she's got pearls on, and she's seems to echo everything Alice is feeling about being in this world of the feminists. And I think Alice believes that those that look like her are like her. And it's the first time she realizes, and it's very scary for her, that there might be something very threatening about women who look like her but aren't actually representative of her beliefs. And so all of a sudden she feels terribly unsafe. She really revealed things she's probably never said or given full voice to about Phyllis, and I think it's very, very scary to her. And she's lost her friends. She doesn't know where she is. She's in a sea of people she doesn't recognize. And I think truly it's that first crack in the door, that first light in, that wait a minute, could it possibly be that there are people that are like-minded but who also believe something else or want for something else? And why do they want something other, you know, that there could be a woman who is of great faith and who cares so much about her family, but who also wants rights for women that are very terrifying. You know, fear of change is an extraordinarily powerful thing. And often when you feel terrified like that, you are liable to have an extreme reaction because you don't want to have the things that make you feel comfortable walking around the planet taken from you. And I think she feels in that moment that she has connected with a stranger, which is also not something. Alice has a very limited worldview, and she hasn't left her home very much, and she hasn't been out in the world. So I think it's very scary to her, all of this newness, which I think most people can, and I can certainly relate to.
Just the fear of the new, fear of...
The fear of the new and the fear of the other, and I think part of what happens in this episode for Alice, which I thought was very powerful and very interesting, was that, you know, and certainly aligns with, I think, a lot of what happens with most of us today, is you find yourself getting one source, getting your news from one source, from one paper, from one news program that absolutely aligns with the way you already think. And you don't find yourself going over to the other side and learning about what they're reading, so that you're educated about both sides of the coin. And, you know, Alice has never done that, ever. And all of a sudden, she sort of peels back the curtain, and she sees that the people that are, quote-unquote, her enemy, or her enemies, or who are threatening her way of life, want to take something from her that makes her feel safe, or want to make her feel badly about herself by simply wanting something else for their lives. She realizes they're just people. They're not an enemy. They're not wanting to take something from her. They want something more for themselves. And I think that for her is an absolute eye-opening moment, the whole episode, because, you know, she's really getting her information from Phyllis and Phyllis alone. And so she is totally surprised and confused about, you know, just the sheer fact that these other women are actual people and not out to get her and take something from her, you know.
My guest is Sarah Paulson. We're talking about Mrs. America, which is on Hulu. So I have to ask two funny questions. There's a moment from last night from the show that's become a meme where you swear if Alice has had a little too much to drink and all, and she starts, and she's lying down, and she starts sort of shoveling food in her mouth off a plate. Was that in the stage directions, or was that something that you came up with?
It was a combination. Davi had written that the plate was under Alice's chin, but the way when we were rehearsing it, the way it was set up, I thought, well, there's no way. So I just decided to lie down. And I thought, if I lie down, I can get this right up under my face and I don't have to worry about spilling anything on my dress. And I, you know, it was trying to find some way where Alice's awareness of making sure to have a napkin in her lap wasn't completely eradicated in the moment when her pink lady or several pink ladies that she consumed did not totally prevent her from thinking about not wanting to spill something on her lovely dress. And so I got it right under my chin there, but the lying down part was my was a thing that happened in the moment, and using my fingers was also something, because Janixa Bravo, who's a wonderful director who directed the episode, wanted Alice to be eating Indian food. That's what she wanted to have been in the gay and lesbian lounge where Alice finally finds a plate of food, and that was the food choice that she wanted. And so I thought, well, there's no way for me to do this without using my hands. So I just started shoveling the food into my mouth that way. So it was a beautiful combination of Davi suggesting where the plate should be under her chin, and the rest of it was sort of something that happened in the moment.
And now it's a stay-at-home meme. The other thing I want to ask you about is watching you and Cate Blanchett do press together, and you recently did an Instagram Live session together.
You two enjoy
each other so much. If anybody's having a bad day, go watch clips of you two. What is it that you enjoy about her so much as a person and also as an actress?
Well, I think the thing that's so funny about Cate is that she has this extraordinarily regal, very, very formidable presence to most people. But the truth is, when especially from afar, but when you spend any time with her, she's goony. She's a clown. She loves to laugh. And you know, I heard you try to say Phyllis Schlafly at the beginning of this conversation, and it's not easy for anyone really. And Cate was wearing these prosthetic teeth that she would take in and out, obviously, in between setups. And so when she would put them in, the first few little times she would speak, it really was just very funny. And I think it's actually Alice in episode 3 or something who sort of makes fun of the Schlafly with the L and the F and where everything goes. And it's sort of running joke in the show that no one can really pronounce her name, which I think is so funny because it's hard for anyone. But so Cate and I just, you know, this is the third time we've worked together. We did mm-hmm. Carol together was the first time we worked together. And we did Ocean's 8. And now we've done this. And it's the second time I played her closest friend. And that's just been, I think, some of our natural, as you commented on, our camaraderie and effervescence that can sometimes, I think what happens is the truth of the matter is that we're both clowns. And when we get together, it's just, I remember Sandy Bullock when we were doing some Ocean's 8 press was just like, Lord, you girls, because we just were like two people who were let out of a playpen. And we're just like, okay, go, you've got 5 minutes. And we're just like, ah! We're just so excited to be together. We really do have a great, good, fun time together. And as an actress, you know, Cate just makes everybody better. And she just, every single person that works with Cate, you know, you just know you have to bring your A game. And by your A game, I mean, you have to be present and you have to be spontaneous, because Cate does things sometimes that are completely unexpected, and you've got to be ready for that. And that makes it really exciting and fun always. And I hope to wear the badge of honor of being her scene partner for many years to come, and her interview partner, because it's fun. It was the first time I'd laughed in a really long time. Yeah.
It's worth seeking out on YouTube and online. Also, Mrs. America, it's been a fantastic show. I've really enjoyed watching it, and you're really excellent in it. Sarah, as usual. Sarah Paulson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.